Hello, welcome to the Transmedia Podcast. I'm Natalie Rios and you can find me online as at Nati Goico. And we are here with April Arlington, writer, creator and producer of the interactive project The Age of Turing, which tries to connect people with Alan Turing and his legacy. So hello, April. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Natalie. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for being here. So April, can you describe the project, this project, to people who hasn't seen it or hasn't, you know, heard about it? How would you describe it? What is it about?
Okay. Well, The Age of Turing is an interactive game experience. Yeah. A little bit of a clash between alternate reality game and a little bit of a web series, if you will, in which we explore a world, an alternate world in which Alan Turing got to live a full life. So we're imagining that he didn't die as young as he did in our reality.
Okay.
But that he actually got to live, have a full life and further his work in computer science. So for those who are not familiar with, who Alan Turing is he's this, British, mathematician that, back in the 1940s, was able to break the Enigma code, which is like this machine that the Germans was using to send messages back and forth during the war, but they were all encrypted. So the way he went about helping the Allies, because he was working for British intelligence, was to try to figure out a way to break this code. But he knew that the only way to do it was to create another machine to kind of like, you know, fight this other machine, because like they were only, you know, using, you know, kind of like human resources to try to do that. And so in the process of wanting to do that, he created the first ever computer. And so that it was just like one of those like crazy accomplishments of like a genius that like really has to think outside the box in order to create something that, you know, regular people just can't even, you know, conceive at that point in time. So, so a lot of people, you know, call him, the father of computer science because of that. Or one of the first pioneers of computing and programming and what it means to, you know, develop, artificial intelligence, because he really like thought of these concepts so way ahead of his time. Even before like, you know, a proper computer would do the things that now it's doing. So like a lot of like the modern technology that we have now, we can really honestly owe it to him and his legacy. So the project is it's really thinking about how the world would already be if that were the case, if he hadn't died prematurely and suddenly we would have more, like, if he would have furthered his work, you know, we probably would have a modern world full, way more full with supercomputers and other intelligent machines that, you know, way advanced. So it's almost kind of like having a future now, in terms of that modern technology. And how would that affect people and our society? It'll probably affect how we connect with each other, how we connect with media, and how we connect with machines. And so that's what this project is trying to explore. It's trying to explore the relationships with of humans and advanced machines.
Okay.
And I think that this topic is really relevant because there's a lot of talk about artificial intelligence and how we relate, how us humans are relating to the latest developments in that field.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of talk, and it's a very trending topic about, and so we thought that, you know, it would be kind of cool to do a project very different from the types of ARGs that we have come to know, in terms of something that it didn't involve necessarily a brunette in distress, you know, asking for help, because, you know, and then some sort of like, you know, conspiratorial thing happening, you know, because like, which is cool, but it's like we've seen it over and over again. And I really wanted to do something unique and different that will like really explore the ability of telling different stories in this format. And so that's what I'm really passionate about in this project.
So I want to ask you something. What is the what you want people to actually feel with this project? Do you want them to rethink about our relation with technology and learn about Alan Turing? I mean, what is the goal of this experience?
Well, the thing is, like, it's multidimensional because there's multiple topics that we want to explore with the story. Because we want to make sure that we talk about certain things, all of them related to Turing. And so we are developing three main characters, and each of them have like a different path, if you will, and interaction with intelligent machines. And through their point of view, we get a little bit of sense of all these themes that I would like to explore. One of them, for example, is the woman in tech theme. Mm-hmm. Like the project is going to highlight mostly like, you know, women characters that are empowered to have, and not scared to use technology, you know, for, you know, to affect positive change. So,
yes.
So we have like one of them, it's like, Emily, the character of Emily is like learning how to code because she's trying to build this application to help autistic children, learn to better communicate, with, adults. And he's in, she's been exposed to a lot of work with robotics. Again, both of these things go back to, you know, Alan Turing's work.
Yes, of course.
We also have Abigail, who is also kind of like a genius, like Alan was in a way. Mm. And she's working with, you know, theorems and big data and coming up with, you know, algorithm analysis and this kind of stuff. And she's like 17. So, you know, it's cool, you know, like with her, we're going to see her like build like her own computer from scrap parts, you know, and Raspberry Pis and things like this. And then it's something that I have not seen in a show or, you know, in a project ever, you know, and it's part of empowering.
Empowering women. How technology is empowering as well.
Yeah, to be their own heroes. And it's like, okay, you know, if there's a mystery, you know, I'm going to go ahead and try to use technology to go ahead and try to solve how can I work it out, you know, and stuff like that. And it also is about community, kind of like, you know, supporting each other. And it speaks against discrimination because ultimately with Alan Turing at the end, he was discriminated against because he was gay. So I feel that that's a huge component in our project. It's like, it's also about having a community pulling together, to fight discrimination in multiple ways. So, all these themes, you know, are part of the story and influence the characters and their role and their character arc development.
Really good. But so you mentioned you had three characters.
Yeah.
Three main characters.
Yeah.
So I would like to ask you now, what would be the experience for the viewer? Because I get that you have these different stories and they are related with technology and you want to create a reflection on the viewer, but how is the experience going to be and how the viewer will learn these different stories or follow these different stories?
Right. Because some multiple platform type of project, there's always going to be like multiple points in entry in terms of rabbit holes, right? And you can learn and be affected by the journey of any given character and enter the story through there. But eventually you would see how they all connect together. Because, for example, I mentioned how, like, Emily, you know, works at a facility with autistic children. Abigail actually also happens to be autistic, probably in the Asperger's kind of like, you know, range. But ultimately, that's how they kind of like meet each other. And then Charles, which is one of our, the third character, main character, he also works in tech. He's like an innovator, and he comes together with that Emily because she goes on a rant online about this supercomputer that it's sort of like pulling all of the stories together, and eventually wants to help her build her application that she's building. So in terms of how I see the experience design, basically, we see the story arcs are gonna be developed through each of the characters, through multiple things like video conversations on Twitter and multiple other things that happen. But like the best way to think of it, it's like you know, the episodic sections.
Yes.
The main things that happen during those like key times that move the story forward probably be anchored with video. Okay. And then, but all this other conversations and interactions with the characters and the audience, further discovering the digital world, probably will just be online through, you know, websites and social
media.
Profiles,
okay,
and other things like this.
So the main character will be developed in a web series. That's why I understand, right?
A little sort bit, yeah.
Of?
I mean,
okay.
It's sort of. I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, episodic and like,
okay,
specifically in the way that web series
work
are formatted, but it, you know, it will anchor the story in a way that it will be easy for people to follow, even if
yes.
they don't get to see all of the extra material that, you know, they could explore if they were to choose to do so.
And are these materials and this content revealed, like, for example, is it on a website and on a Twitter feed, or is it going to be interactive and personalized based on the interactions of the user? That's
right.
My kind of questions, like the story. I guess there will be a story that will be available for everyone in format of videos, but is there any anything that needs to be unlocked, or you know, like,
yes,
people need to interact in order to get that part of the story?
Yes, I mean, yes, absolutely. I mean, the story, it won't absolutely just live in the videos. The format, it would be very much like a linear story told in an unlinear way all over the internet.
Yeah.
And then there will be some personalized content and some content that, yeah, like it all revolves around a mystery. And the mystery,
okay,
is that there is a supercomputer that goes online into the internet and becomes consciously aware, meaning it suddenly you know, kind of like it starts thinking as if it was a human. And so a lot of people start freaking out, saying, oh my God, you know, it's Terminator or something, you know,
mm-hmm,
whatever, it's the end of the world. And a lot of people are going to be like, how can we use it for our own benefit, you know, and monetization and stuff like that. And then there's going to be those who are going to be like, well, I mean, this computer is just curious to know about humanity. I mean, why are we freaking out that it's going to come and destroy us all? What? I mean, it hasn't shown signs to do that. It just has shown signs that it just wants to learn about us and the human experience. So why not let it just be? And so, but the problem is that this supercomputer is, it's the location of this computer is encrypted. So there's multiple parties like wanting different things out of the supercomputer, and so it's up to our three heroes coming together and trying to find the supercomputer and the story behind the supercomputer. It's like, who created it and what was it created for? And at the end, this story ties closely to the background story of the three main characters in a mysterious way. So the whole point of the experience is having the audience, you know, follow the characters through, you know, with the mystery and try to figure out what happened and what's going to happen next.
Good, good. And so I read that that you would include some kind of puzzles or things that the audience needs to solve. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about that process of creating this story and how did you decide, because I guess you wrote like a script and then incorporated the interactive part, I would like to know about that process and how that worked for you, because
right.
I guess you had the story and you had the interest, so I'd like to know what is the process behind to build the interactive part and to decide how to include interactive in the story.
Right, right. So from the very beginning, we knew we wanted to do something interactive.
Yes.
So it wasn't just like, okay, we're just going to take the script and see how we're going to do it. It was more of like, this is how we see the story developing, and this is how we think, you know, the interactivity is going to take play. Now, we've started doing the experience design, but you have to be flexible when you do this, because you can't just tie it up completely, because you have to consider your audience and how they're going to react mid-play.
Yes.
And you have to like adjust those reactions with what are you going to be doing with experience live.
So what
we're thinking in terms of the experience design in terms of like unlocking the mysteries, like the puzzles are going to take shape of multiple different types of things. You know, sometimes you have to figure out like a certain code to put on a website in order to, you know, suddenly see the, you know, what you're not meant to see when you first get there. There's also, we're gonna also implement some augmented reality elements in which, you know, you're gonna be presented with some sort of, you know, instructions like, okay, this is where you have to go, this is what you have to look for. And through some, you know, previous experience with, say, with Charles or whatever, in which you know that he gets to unlock something this particular way, you can go ahead and try it with certain tools that we kind of like, you know, highlight that you should be, you know, looking into using. And in that way, you know, you can unlock, you know, that kind of like layer of, you know, information that is hidden as well. So those, you know, things, you know, are still kind of like in the works. And obviously, you know, I can't get too much into it, because that's the whole point, like for people to like, figure out. But that's sort of like what we have in mind. I mean, we definitely wanted to make it more of like a game experience for sure. But the thing is that like a lot of these games, they're kind of tricky, because there's like a thin line between when you're just like, there's too much story, or maybe there's too much gameplay, and you know, you want to just have it just right. And so
a balance
between the game elements and the story. But what we really felt, it's like, you know, we wanted to have like a strong narrative where people really care about these characters and what happens next, in order for you to really want to follow them wherever they go.
And I think that's a really good point, because you need that. You need people to be engaged with your story in order for them to want to interact with it, right? It's exactly. Kind of like that, like searching for the interest for people to go there and play. So, are you going to build like a web app, or is there going to be an application for people to play certain games, or are they going to be around social media, or which technology are are you planning on using, if you can reveal these things of your project?
Right now, the way we're planning on building it out, it's a little bit more of like across multiple platforms. However, there are some assets that we see coming from inside the game that we can see be deployed in real life as an like a deliverable asset in the form of an application and stuff like that. For example, the application that Emily's building, we totally want to build that as an actual application in real life, you know, and stuff like that. And so it's all going to depend on the game itself and how people really react and how much they're into different things, because maybe what they want to see us build is some other part of the game that we are not even aware that, it, you know, they want to really, you know, see live, come to life. And so we're leaving that a little bit open for now. Okay. But we are also thinking, because ultimately this experience, we see it coming alive in three installments. This, what we're doing right now is like the, what we're calling the first season, if you will.
Okay.
We're definitely having plans to release really cool like stuff, maybe for example, mobile app to go with the experience and stuff, something like that, perhaps between seasons, you know, and then ramp up the tech interactivity, you know, each season further and further, and so we would say, for example, say if we move forward and people want season two, we would do that next year and then really highlight like the use of either the mobile application or augmented reality. And then a year later, if people really want to see season three, then we're even considering getting into virtual reality elements. But that all this going to depend on the announcement of the Oculus. Hopefully this Christmas we'll see if it goes mainstream or not. If it does, then we'll have like about 2 years before, you know, we know exactly how to move forward with that. But we already envision like how would that work in terms of content. So it's just a matter of like, you know, have the ability to do it or not. So we'll see. I mean, it's something that we hope for, you know, but it all depends on how everything goes down.
And you also want to be responsive to the audience. That's what I'm
getting. We're very flexible.
You'd like to know what they are really interested in and then see if you can respond to that and build something around that.
Yeah. We're in the middle of like really just building the community that it's going to be passionate about this particular project. It focuses on so many topics, very dear to people that are in tech, but also that are looking to do like, you know, do good, you know, and using tech to do good. It's not only about, you know, artificial intelligence and robotics and, you know, cool game puzzles that you can do because of, you know, augmented reality and all this other stuff.
It's about also, the message.
Yeah, it's about, you know, yeah, that message of like really, you know, coming together and as outcasts, you know, doing what it's right, even if, you know, all odds are stacked against them, and really pull together in order to affect positive change. And in hopes that by highlighting this a little more of like dystopian scenarios in this alternate reality, people kind of like start thinking about these things in a more serious ways and try to make changes in our reality type of thing.
So. I really like that. You know, you're almost saying that you're using transmedia and interactivity because it might bring people together. And I like that thought because I've heard it a lot with the interviews that we've done in the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, bringing people together and using technology for that. So I think it's a really good format if you're advocating for that. And so now that you said that you are trying to build a community, and we just had the webinar about building your audience, can you explain a bit of how you're planning to build your audience, and what is the process for that? I mean, your insights and in your experience and in this experience, and anything that you would like to share about that.
Well, I was hearing the webinar earlier today over at Conductor, and about getting fans. And I mean, it's true. I have studied many case studies on these type of experiences since like 2009, 2008. And the reality of the situation is that, building a community sometimes takes time, and sometimes you have to go ahead and really prove yourself in terms of, really showcasing a story that people are gonna, love and really support first, for them to really, really then go ahead and follow you everywhere you go after that. And so, I mean, it is a lot of work, but as Carrie was talking about earlier, that's the most successful stories are like, that's how they came to be, for like the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, for example. Like, they really built an audience that whole year that they were putting out that story. And then at the end of that year, when they had that Kickstarter to just say, hey, we did this in string budget, it would be great if you guys can help us out a little bit to, tide up the funds, and pay some people and stuff like that. I mean, they weren't expecting, too much in terms of like, well, I'm sure that our audience will go ahead and be there for us. But I mean, they ended up raising like $500,000. It was like incredible story. And so, but it's a testament of like, if you do something that it's gonna fulfill the need, because I mean, it feels like, there's a lot of like a female voice in terms of like YouTube, like audience, and nobody was filling that voice in
That
terms of
gap, yeah.
content. And then when they come up, like, suddenly it's like, yeah, like, they were there exactly at the right time that it was needed. So I think that is true. And I think that one has to strategize, content in that way. I mean, I feel that there is a need in, especially the alternate reality game sphere, to tell stories a little bit differently, and so I think that because this topic of artificial intelligence, it's so relevant right now, and because of all this, media buzz on how technology is affecting everything and everybody, we felt like, there'll be a lot of people interested in seeing our point of view in terms of like having female characters empowered through tech to do all these really cool things and solve mysteries and support each other in what they do. So I think that the audience is there, and I hope that, they come to love our project.
So, and you are running now a Kickstarter campaign. That's correct.
That is correct. We just launched yesterday, so this is all like just kind of like finally started to roll out, because we've been working on this project for like, I don't know how many years, in terms of like really having an understanding of the universe, the characters, and what it is that the
That you
story
want to
is
say,
that we
yeah.
want to, exactly, get into. And so finally we're going public with it. We're asking, very reasonable amount of money just to get started for this first, what we call the first season. We're asking $4,000. We're up in, and running with, a really good start. And we hope that, like, perhaps maybe we can, like, get into stretch goals and maybe make it closer to 6,000 if possible, just so that we have a little bit more of funds to play with some really cool things that we have in mind and that we really want to do and we really hope to pull off. But at the same time, we're so committed to the project that even if we just get like our basic 4,000, we are still going to go ahead and make this happen anyway, because we're so passionate about it. And we know that we don't need all the bells and whistles to make it work and make it good. Exactly. We just hope for the bells and whistles. So, yeah.
So you talk about we. I assume there's a team behind it. So can you tell us a bit about the collaborative work and how do you build a team around the story and, you know, how was that process?
Yes. Well, right now, for the most part, the core team is just me and my co-producer. His name is Jose Delgado. We actually knew each other from Panama. We are both Panamanian. And then that's one of the things that we also wanted to do with our cast. Our cast is very diverse. Not only most of it is female, but like half of it is half of it is very diverse. So, because we really want to showcase that. I mean, we are Latinos but we still think about this story as a like universal story. And so we just don't see, that much diversity shown in stories like this. So we figured, you know, this would be an opportunity to do that. And so we're very passionate about doing that. So anyway, but we're both the co-creators. So we kind of like wrote this story together and we're co-producing it together. I come more from the content side because of my background in film, media, transmedia, publishing. I mean, I'm really come from a heavy content background. He comes from more of like a tech background because, he's into programming, coding, artificial intelligence, virtual reality, all this other stuff that it's like way more like tech driven. And it's the perfect collaboration, between the two scientists, if you will. And we really have a lot of fun doing this. Along the way, we have come across some, colleagues of mine that have spoken some, you know, that they're pretty interested in this project and see it come alive and you know, looking to collaborate, you know, and together and so we're still in the process of building
the team
exactly.
But so would you say it's very important because you said like you come from the content creation background and he is a tech guy. So would you say that is very important for these kind of projects that you have like this two sides and they collaborate together or what do you think?
No, absolutely. You need a team, especially because this type of experiences are so big in terms of production itself that you can try to pull it off by yourself, but it's going to take all of your time and energy. Yeah, no, and at the end of the day, I mean, it is really, because it's a multiple platform, multiple media type of, you know, format. I mean, you really need, even if you're good at everything, I mean, there are going to be things that you're going to need help with. I mean, especially interesting to produce my last project, The Miracle Mile Paradox, back in 2012, in Los Angeles, because for that particular experience, we decided to do this very interesting thing that it was more of like a crowdsourcing production. So we had like maybe like the core team of three people really, doing, you know, the main write in the production design and the project management, but having everybody else, bring in whatever strengths they had to the project and then take away whatever they wanted to learn from the project. So say if you were a designer, you wanted to learn how to code or say how to program something, how to use Conductor, because we actually use Conductor for that particular game experience as well. So, you know, they had the opportunity to do that, you know, so, in exchange for some, you know, design work or whatever. And so that everybody got to see learn how to build this thing in terms of like learning how to write. Everybody had to write, take over a Twitter character. So everybody had to learn how to write a character in this particular format, and also, you know, just get a sense of how the whole production was gonna unfold.
Yeah, so, I think it's interesting that, I don't know, it's like an insight that I'm picking up of what you're saying, but when you're building a transmedia or an interactive experience, then okay, you have to write the story, but I wonder if it's actually better or necessary to have a technologist person there in the creative process of writing the story, because it's, of course, it influences the experience. So, you know, in your case, I think it's this way. And I think it's interesting, because you wouldn't think about, okay, I'm going to write a movie, I need a technologist.
Right.
But in a transmedia project, it might be actually part of the process.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing that we figure out within the process of building that experience was that because everybody was doing this, like, for the most part, you know, as part-time thing, you know, a lot of people are going to get busy or whatever, but the project still needed to get done. I mean, we had backers that we needed to respond to, and we had a deadline to deploy the project. So it was one of those things that, you know, we started to realize that you actually do want to get, like, a core crew that is committed to their role from the get-go, and not like have, you know, not have somebody, you know, kind of like jump in and out, because it was very disruptive in a way where you know, it was hard to keep everybody in the same page at all times, you know, and so it was kind of tricky. That was one of the learning curves that we discovered throughout building that particular project. So in knowing that and having had that experience, for sure moving forward, I do feel that, like, from the get-go, like, yeah, you absolutely, you know, whoever wants to be committed to, like, hey, you know, this person is gonna, you know, be in charge of you know, writing, this person is gonna be in charge of the tech and collaborate together. Yeah, you have to, like, take on that responsibility and really carry it through the entire time. I mean, I know that, for example, for the case study of, like, the team of Peter and Wendy, I believe that's a web series, a transmedia interactive web series. the crew, the key crew for that, I believe it's like 7 or 8 people. I think it's 7 people. And they, the way they, and I remember this because I saw them speak at a Transmedia Los Angeles meetup last year. They were essentially just talking about how each one of them had taken, like, took over, like, a particular platform and also, like, a particular character. So, and then that way they knew that everything was kind of, like, taken care of in terms of, like, oh, somebody was always going to be on top of what was happening on Tumblr versus what was happening on Facebook versus what's happening on other platforms. And at the same time, whatever conversations were happening with their character, wherever, they were going to be going live, and they were going to be missing a beat no matter the time that the audience decided to engage during the episodes. So this was obviously super important, because I think their audience engagement was, like, really successful because of this particular decision that it decided to take. And so that's one of the key things also to know and have in mind.
Commitment.
Yes.
That's really good. So I would like to wrap up with a final thought. What is your view on transmedia, interactivity, and, you know, technology? Because since your project is about technology and connecting people through technology and having a different vision on technology, what would be a final insight or thought that you would like to share about this?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because with me, like, I come from, like, a very traditional, you know, film background. I went to film school and stuff like that. And, like, when things started to shift, like, right around 2007, and, you know, it was so evident to me how things were just going to be more interactive. And and I just saw that coming, and I'm like, I want to be part of that space, because it's essentially how I see the future, but also I think there is a great opportunity to try to connect with people in that way that perhaps wasn't there before. And so, because I mean, there's also this talk of like, oh, you know, social media isolates you, and like, you know, you're just constantly online, and then you're not like really living life out and meeting people and whatnot. But like, I mean, and this is exactly one of the topics that we're, you know, exploring in the age of Turing. It's like, well, the relationship with the machines versus the relationship with machines that helps you become a better human and being better aware of your humanity and your relationship with others. And I think that's something that is just one of the things that, like, as people, we just have to discover in and of ourselves as we, you know, grow and mature, you know, that, I mean, don't blame the machines because you're becoming isolated or whatever.
And I think it's good to see technology as a natural part of us instead of something external that is, you know, changing us or no, it's just, it's always been there, constantly evolving, and we need to embrace it. And
it's a tool.
It's a tool. Vehicle and we've had tools for, you know, ever. So it's just the way they have evolved, our new tools, and it's just the way you use it and the possibilities it brings to you.
Exactly. So, and it's also like how you evolve as a person. It's like, you know, just because the technology is advancing, that just pushes you to, you know, to become more aware, you know, of where you're at and how you're going to use those tools to become a better person.
Yes, exactly. So you can decide whether to use it for isolation or connection.
Exactly. Really. It's a choice. It's absolutely it's a choice. And I absolutely believe that. And you're absolutely right.
Okay. Thank you so much, April. That was really good. Thank you for sharing the experience, your experience with us and this upcoming project that we are really excited. Well, I'm really excited about it, and wish you the best with it. And as a final thing, I would like to tell our listeners where to find you online and where to find, you know, the Kickstarter campaign. And I will share the links, of course, in the podcast, but
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much. So anybody can find more about the Age of Turing at www.ageofturing.com. From there, you can find directly about the Kickstarter right there on the homepage, and or look for us just Age of Turing. Or the Age of Turing, or even Turing, if you were just to look for Turing on Kickstarter, we probably actually are the first project that comes up. So you can do that. And then, all my information is there under Akimerol, which is the company that we have co-founded. And for that, that's www.arkimerol.com. It's kind of tricky, but that's also, you can find everything over at theageofturing.com.
Perfect. Well, so thank you very much again, and really excited about the project, and wish you all the best with it. Thank you for sharing your experience with us, and
thank you for having me. Thank you so much, Natalie, and thank you Conductor for giving me the opportunity.
Oh, thank you. So, see you around. Thank you. Bye.